Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got going to have a great show today. First, I want to, there's so much crazy things going on, and I thought I'd do a quick little news thing, a little tongue-in-cheek news thing to get people, you know, up to speed on what's happening. But, under the breaking news, there's major job and under breaking news, there's major job and openings in the U.S. government. The FBI, CIA, House, and Senate are hiring. Read the memo. Trump did say he'd be creating more new jobs. Anyway, there's a mass exodus, out of these agencies, and due to what the memo said. So, anyway, sadly, the founder of RT was found dead due to multiple blunt traumas to the head and body. The coroner listed it as suicide. Kind of like all those lawyers that were suing, going after Wasserman and Clinton's, and they end up with multiple gunshots to the head and type suicide notes, and it seems it's not healthy to become part of the Clinton opposition. The body count continues to rise. One of the headline news: one of the major universities did a psychic evaluation on Hillary and developed. Well, basically, it was developed by an esteemed university, and she scored just under Hitler, especially concerning lack of empathy and the ability to do what is ever necessary to achieve her narcissistic goals. Hillary, when asked who paid for the Russian dossier, said, "I did. So what? I covered up the child diddlers, rapes. This is nothing. Get over it. What difference does it make? Why am I not president? What happened?" This is almost beginning to be a very dark comedy. It's so bad, and it's going to continue to unfold the more they try to cover it up, which is the next topic. Adam Shifty, Mrs. Skeletor, Pocahontas, Mad Maxi, and a few others are creating Democrat counter memo. They're hiring Disney in a room full of Russian third graders. Congress voted down releasing the Democrat memo with a comment, somebody should get the net. Anyway, CNN will leak and repeat the Democrats' fake memo until everybody gags, changes the channel, or jumps out the window. Looks like CNN has finally thrown in the towel due to lack of listeners. I guess there were not enough people with lobotomies to keep it going. Anderson Cooper commented, "It doesn't really matter. We still have MSM and CBS. I get my check from the CIA under Project Mockingbird, whether I show up or not." I hope these aren't too little over the top for people, but Mr. Soros there is threatening Putin and Trump and almost anyone who resists his New World Order program, saying they won't be around for long. And this just might be a self-fulfilling prophecy, considering the fact that he has international warrants out for his arrest for toppling countries, creating civil wars, making billions off the wars and carnage to follow, His Let's Make the World an S-hole campaign seems to be failing, although they did get a little traction over in Haiti, thanks to you-know-who. Now, according to the Democrats, the Russians ate your homework, left a dent in your car, stole your car keys, and are plotting to take over the world. And the Democrats are the only ones that can see them. They have cloaking devices and are invisible, leaving no trace of evidence of them ever being there. So if you've lost your keys lately, blame the Russians. Here's another one. Prince Al-Waleed confessed to organizing the Las Vegas massacre, sending a team of professional snipers and multiple gunmen to Mandalay Bay, which I believe he owns the top floor. I hope the sheriff gets this memo, but I hope the news actually gets this memo and deals with it. But there wasn't a lone gunman there. There was more than that going on. Anyway, during the State of the Union speech, Democrats who would not stand for the national anthem, the flag, the lowest black unemployment in history, honor the parents whose kids were killed by MS-13 gang members, et cetera, were caught playing video games and playing with their cell phones. Now, whether or not you agree with the speech or in opposition, it's wise to know what's going on. I mean, isn't that their job? This is extreme self-serving narcissism, and they need to be reminded of who they work for, and they need to pay attention to what's happening. That's why they're there. Okay, so now this is a good one here. With an executive order, Trump declared UFO cover-up is over. Latest polls show 85 to 99%, as in Texas, believe UFOs exist and there is a government cover-up. Trump tweeted, "What's the point? We're really looking stupid here. Who do we work for?" This was followed by CNN, MSM, CBS calling for another mental health test. Trump tweeted, "I aced it. How about you?" followed by a happy dance. Here's one more. In his 220 State of the Union address, Trump said he would release free energy, anti- and counter-gravity, alternative cures for most diseases, ban inoculations, and big pharma until they prove their drugs are safe and effective. He'd ban chemtrails, also known as geoengineering. He also said after he builds a wall, he's going to toss a lot of Democrats over it, a few Republicans too. And there will also be a new FBI and a CIA, only it will be on the other side of the wall. Adios, amigos. This will be cost-effective because they're already doing business on the other side of the wall. And I'm not going to explain that one. You can read between the lines. That's about it for the news. There's so much more going on. But it's just there's so much bad acting out there. We have to bring some humor into this. It's so insane. I think that's the only way we can survive this planet and what it's going through is by bringing some humor into this. So anyway, with that said, I wanted to get into the show. We've got my brother from another mother, Michael Tellinger, and he's been on the show you know, many times before. He's the author of Slave Species of the Gods, African Temple of the Anunnaki, Adam's Calendar, Slave Species of God, Temples of the African Gods. I might have missed one or two, but he's you know, head of the Ubuntu movement, and he's getting ready to do a pretty big conference over there in Africa, in which I'll be attending. So I can't wait to get over there and you know, pet a lion or an elephant or something. But anyway, with any further ado, we want to bring Michael on the show. Michael, are you with us?
I'm here, James. Great hearing your voice and also great hearing those little news snippets. They really are a fascinating dark comedy. And I must admit, I love Donald Trump's sarcastic responses.
I know. I just, you know, he has the same humor I do sometimes, you know. And I watch, he just throws a tweet out and everybody just goes nuts and they go crazy and then they all attack, and then they find out what he said was true, you know, and but they just keep going, you know. He's like playing. It's almost like he's got a fish on the line, you know, and he's just reeling them in a little bit and then letting them run and then reeling them in a little bit, letting them run. And it's just like you'd think they'd figure this out, but you know.
You know what I find fascinating from the outside, and I guess I speak for myself and the people that I mingle with, uh-huh. and from the outside world looking into the United States, everybody seems to see that Donald Trump is it was a good thing it happened for the USA. I'm not sure exactly how good in the end it's going to be, but it's an interesting thing. But there seems to be a lot of resistance to Trump in the USA. Whether that is being instigated by the cabal to make it look like there's resistance. Who knows? You know, you just don't know anymore. But I must admit, I'm enjoying Trump's responses. Not that I watch it too often because I don't watch any mainstream news at all. I'm just trying to keep my mind completely unpoisoned or untouched by any of that stuff. I heard you say something about CNN throwing in the towel. I did, you know, don't want to get off the subject that you and I are going to talk about. But what did you mean by that?
It looks like they're going to be going out of business here pretty soon, according to some news stories. But, you know, we call CNN the Clinton News Network or the CIA News Network, and they're just part of Project Mockingbird, you know, which is a big mind control program. And they're actually listed in the NASA papers as one of the news, you know, groups that they would be working through. So anyway, I you know,
that's
obviously
interesting. And I caught a snippet of CNN earlier today when I went to my office at Stone Circle, the Stone Circle Ubuntu office. And I've got this American research team here, a research group here. And some of them are watching, you know, TV. It's Saturday afternoon and they're watching TV. in the sort of lounge area, and they had CNN on. And what I saw is that the guy that reads the weather on CNN was the guy that read the weather on one of the South African news channels until recently. So,
yeah,
I guess they look like they're hiring from third world countries now.
Yeah, you know, I think they just have clones, you know, and they program them and tell them what to say, and then they hit the switch, and then it's all good, you know. But you know, who knows? But it's unbelievable when you see these you know, CBS and these other ones doing the MSM and all those guys, you know, CNN, they all have the exact same headline, and it's almost like they just parrot this headline. They don't do any research. They don't do anything. There's no investigative reporting. They all just come up with the same headline. And then, and now they're trying to say that the memo's cherry picked. It's wrong. It's this, it's that, you know, and, you know, they have all the evidence to back it up. They have the original text and everything else to prove what they're saying. So, you know, it's this whole Russia thing over here is just a big nothing burger. Even CNN, the head of CNN said it's a big nothing burger, but you know, we're here to, you know, we need to make money. We need to keep the listener base going or whatever. But yeah, so it's all, you know, you got to go by who owns the lamestream media. And when you know that, it's just a big exercise in mind control. And I always tell people, I'm not a politician. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I don't believe in either one of them, but I'm, as an observer, what I'm seeing is, first of all, we could have gotten Hillary, which was just pure evil. I mean, that was, and that's being proven now. I mean, all this evidence is coming out, what she's been up to. And second of all, you know, if he gets rid of the Fed and brings out the new currencies and drains the swamp and restores the republic, which is where he's going and what he's promised to do, you know, 100% back, and you know, I back him 100%, but I still don't believe in some of the other things. I don't think it should be business first. I think we should be kind of like nature first, because we do need to take care of the planet. And there are some things I totally disagree about that. But almost all this racist stuff, all these things are all contrived. They're all twisted. And you know, there's a saying here now, and there are some good Democrats too, but there's a saying, people are saying, you know, how do you know when a Democrat's lying now? And it's like their lips are moving, you know. So it's sad, because, you know, like Dennis Kucinich, or there's some other Democrats out there, and they got to be just squirming right now. That party's pretty much finished, you know, unless they just clean house. They've got to get rid of these guys and clean house, or they're basically done. But anyway, I don't want to get into too much politics. I really want to cover what's happening over there in Africa, and you've got that major conference coming up. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, absolutely. So I look forward to having you here in South Africa for the first time. So it's the Ubuntu Festival from the 12th to the 15th of April in the beautiful mountainous town, a small town of Batplaas, which means Bath Farm. And it's now called Emanzani, or the place of healing waters. That's what it's a traditional African name is, the place of healing waters. Nice. So it's an appropriate place for us to hold the event. It's a beautiful resort. It sleeps close to 5,000 people. It's got a nature reserve, game reserve attached to it. It's obviously a very safe place. It's just beautiful, a beautiful fresh spring waters coming out the mountain. And we got a great lineup of speakers, a great lineup of musicians. I've got over 20 international speakers that are going to be there. You're going to be one of them. It's costing me an absolute fortune. I'm throwing in everything I've got to make this happen, because I believe it has to be done. Mm-hmm. And to initiate this into Southern Africa, this kind of event. I've got more than 30 incredible musicians and performers. We have sound healers. We have yoga teachers. We have Qigong teachers. It's just going to be an amazing event. I'm really looking forward to it, but I'm extremely anxious and stressed throwing this all together with a small team, you know, understaffed and underfunded, but we're pulling it off. So, yeah, there we go. So, if anybody wants to find out more, just go to ubuntufest.org. It's ubuntufest.org. That's ubuntufest.org, and check out all the details there. You can book your tickets. We'll be organizing shuttles from Johannesburg International Airport, which is called OR Tambo, and so for our guests that arrive from overseas, just putting all the little things together right now.
Yeah, I'm laughing only because, you know, we put our conferences on too as well, and I know what goes behind them and organize them and getting everybody there. And then it even gets more complicated because you've got, you know, a few hundred people there. And then you always have the disruptors, you know, you have these people, and we just kind of spot them in the beginning. We know they're going to be a major problem. We just kind of assign some people to them, you know, to help get that through, you know, but get us through the conference. But anyway, now do you have a list of some of the speakers that are coming to the conference?
Yeah, well, starting with yourself, James Gilliland, myself, Michael Tillinger. We have Michael Cremo on Forbidden Archaeology. We have Jay Widener from Gaia. Jay's obviously, you know, very learned, well experienced guy, got incredible knowledge. We have John Stuart Reed, the inventor of the cymoscope. He's coming to do a lecture and workshops on the cymoscope, the power of sound, the dolphin language analysis with his technology. That's going to be an incredible presentation. We have Klaus Donner, the Austrian researcher with all the mysterious unsolved mysteries and tools and artifacts from around the world. We have Samos Managic, the Bosnian pyramid founder. He's got incredible discoveries there in Bosnia. We have Valery Uvarov, the Russian pyramid builder. He's built several pyramids in Russia. An incredibly knowledgeable guy, ex-KGB. So he's got a lot of inside information. We got Eileen Day McCusick from the USA. She's got Tuning the Biofield. Her book is called Tuning the Biofield. So it's all about sound, resonance, and healing. We have Claire Janish, one of my favorite speakers in the world. She's a South African engineer scientist. She's talking about biomimicry and beyond. And if you've ever, you know, if you ever want to see anybody that's going to get you excited, Claire Janish is probably top of my list with her knowledge of the intricacy of science, the genetics, biomimicry, the nature of reality, all this stuff. She is just a walking encyclopedia, that girl. We have Linda Tucker, the South African who runs the White Lions Trust, talking about the whole White Lion, the sacred White Lions, and her relationship with Credo Mutswa. And that's just to mention a few. There are a few more.
That's such an amazing lineup. I wish I had all these guys at my place, but. I don't think there's one that I would want to miss out of all those. Usually when you have a conference, you have a few really good ones, and then the other ones are kind of like old news. It keeps getting regurgitated. But your lineup there is just amazing, and all these people are cutting edge, you know, top line people. I know I've had a lot of these people on my show, and, this... God, the information there. I mean, you should turn this into I'm sure you're going to have DVDs available and things like that, but this should be like a world education, conference that goes out to everybody.
Yeah, I'm considering, because the problem with Butt Blast and many little towns in South Africa is that the internet is not good. So we can't really live stream. But what we can do is, and this is what I've been considering just in the last sort of 48 hours, is to create an Ubuntu Festival channel on YouTube, or create a sort of a low-level subscription kind of opportunity, so people pay a small amount to be able to watch it. And that'll help us fund the event as well and future events and put all the stuff on there. And as you said, turn it turn it into a learning platform, which is really desperately needed.
Yeah, I think with all the information that you and all the others have there, we've been lied to for so long about the origins of man, the true history of Earth, the origin of God, everything. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And your lineup there pretty much covers the whole enchilada.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if you've seen any of my latest work, James, my presentations. Last year at Contact in the Desert, I sort of started to launch it and then did a very successful tour in the USA with the whole nature of reality. It's really interesting to see what people are interested in, because the last hour of my 4-hour presentation in Sedona was uploaded about 3 months ago, or just less than 3 months ago, or just more or less 3 months ago, and it's got 2.4 million hits.
Wow.
Which is just insane. So it shows you what people are interested in. They want to know about the nature of reality, the lies of the mainstream scientific fraternity, how they've lied to us, how they've manipulated us. And I go into deep, I guess you can call it deep knowledge and science from a scientific perspective about sound and resonance and magnetics, magnetism, electromagnetism. And then what I've discovered is the particle physics agenda. And this is unbelievable. It has hit me so square in the face. Once you start seeing the very calculated maneuvers over the last 500 years, how the whole particle physics world has been brought into our reality, so that, as above, so below, they're tiny little particles floating around, bumping into each other, creating this chaos. And out of this chaos comes this weird, incredible order that creates humanity, and you start realizing the lie of mainstream science forcing particle physics down our throat, so much so that at some stages they come across as if they're psychotic with what they're saying, Like then they, the whole Big Bang, and then that's not good enough. Then it becomes the string theory, and that's not good enough. Then it becomes a super string theory, and then it just gets crazier and crazier. But what really got me excited is when I really started studying and researching that whole period in the late 1800s to the sort of 1930s. When the whole particle physics thing and the quantum theory and quantum mechanics became the big thing. And the golden boys of that whole scientific fraternity and the era that, at the age of 24, 25, and late 20s and early 30s, were winning Nobel Prizes for theoretical physics. It becomes insane. And you start seeing this agenda that was planned and concocted to make everybody believe that these particles are floating around everywhere, when if you really understand how everything works, everything is just sound, resonance, and frequency, and there are no particles. They're just momentary manifestations of very dense frequencies that manifest themselves and look and feel like solid matter. And because they vibrate so fast, we perceive and experience everything as solid, but there are no particles. And this is just becoming, for me, a huge breakthrough, with which you can start explaining pretty much everything and every problem we face as humanity.
Yeah, it does seem that whoever controls the matrix, or controls those frequencies and energies, pretty much, controls us, unless we're awake and we're really solid and connected in the heart. And I've been seeing that. It's very sad because I'm in Mexico right now, and unfortunately this town used to be a very orbs everywhere, really healing town, beautiful town. I come down here and I got a lot of my dental work done and things like that, and it's a wonderful place, and I've watched it degenerate over the past 12 years, and to now it's just there's so much alcohol and drugs, and they're doing a big rave They're doing rave parties, and it's all about making a buck and getting drunk and partying and getting, you know, intoxicated or whatever. And it's really sad because, you know, it used to be a sleepy little fishing, surfing village, and people were walking arm in arm through the plaza. You know, all whole families were, you know, really, really incredible energy. You know, we could learn a lot from them, and now it's gone through an extreme degeneration. Program and you know, you wonder, I know a lot of that is just the huge influx of people here now. They've done stories about this place, you know, in major newspapers and TV shows, and now it's you know, they did The Bachelor here and all these other things, and so now it's sad, you know. It's like it looks like I'm gonna have to find a new place. But I always wondered too is that now they've got these massive cell towers here and all these other things, and God knows what they're broadcasting on that, yeah. With this new, yeah, the new 5G coming out, and it's just, you know, I'm really hoping that they take a second look at this 5G thing and decide whether or not they want to launch this, because it has some pretty detrimental effects, you know, to the physical body, and it's a total consciousness manipulator.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the good news is that that if our one small town strategy with the Ubuntu movement keeps expanding at the rate that it started in 2017, by the end of 2018, we might have a few dozen mayors around the world, especially in Canada and the USA, that have implemented the one small town and the contributionism strategy, and that's going to have a huge impact, and that's going to create an ongoing exponential domino effect. And that could in many ways become the very rapid antidote to all this stuff, because that'll bring out the scientists, the inventors, that new technology that's currently not being used, that will be implemented and created and manufactured and distributed from these small towns into the rest of the world, and completely undermine the efforts of these large global manipulators that we all know are just, you know, part of the enslavement enslavement team.
Yeah, I mean, you've met some of the people I know, and we have, you know, we have anti-gravity, counter-gravity, fuelless energy technology. You know, we can clean sewage water and it'll come out crystal clear, oxygenated. You know, all that technology exists right now, and according to the Secret Space Fleet, we have replicators, and we can it's almost like a copier, where if somebody gets blown to pieces, as long as their brain's still intact, you know, we can rebuild them, you know, with these 24-hour soldier programs. We just put them all back together again and send them out again. But, you know, all of that stuff, it would be amazing if that went into the marketplace, you know, and was used in healing centers and you know, the grid, bringing a new grid. And I also know there's a phone system too that operates on a whole different frequency, and it's actually energizing, not degenerating. Have you heard about this?
Well, I'm not sure which one you're talking about. I'd love to hear the one that you're referring to, but I also have information about a very different kind of communication system that I can share with you. But first, you can share your story first.
Well, I've heard several different types out there, but one is like Tesla technology, and it uses the Earth energy somehow. I haven't, you know, I read it probably 3 or 4 years ago, so I can't really quote it. But what have you seen out there?
Well, that's exactly what I was not just heard about. I actually spoke to the scientist and the inventor, and he is known to many people around the world. He's an incredible guy, a little crazy, but absolute genius. And I'm not going to mention his name now. But when I asked him in the USA, I asked him, would you be capable of developing an alternative communication system? Once we get a one small town off the ground, and we need to start allowing people to communicate with each other free of charge, free of the restrictions of the existing cell phone and whatever companies. You know, his answer was, of course, it's easy. I said, so how would you do it? You know, how would you replace the cell phone towers and all that, and satellites or whatever, you know, if you believe all that stuff. So And he said, oh, no, we don't use any of that. We just use the earth. Use the earth as the resonator and the conducting medium. And I just went, that's my guy.
Yeah, that's the exact same thing that I heard about. And we'll have to talk about that because I would love to get behind that. And it looks like I'll tell you in person more about that after I get back. But it looks like some big things are unfolding. I'll be going to China here pretty soon, and then I'll tell you more about that. I don't want to talk about that too much, but. Things are really turning around in a very good way.
You know that the person, the one company that you're referring to about the energy and that, we now have a very interesting, unique deal with this particular energy provider. And you know, I'm not going to mention names now, but once you look into the one small town, you'll see who I'm referring to because it becomes public knowledge. They are already dealing with Mayor Ron Higgins in Canada, implementing the electricity supply for North Frontenac. And they'll start talking to other towns as the mayors come on board. It's just incredible how this stuff could very rapidly sweep across the world as the mayors, one by one, start to implement the one small town contributionism model. And I could tell you that Ron Higgins, the mayor of North Frontenac, has already got mayors in Canada calling him. He's got mayors in the USA and Australia and Germany, I believe, calling him, wanting to find out how he went about launching and implementing the strategy. So he's under a lot of pressure already to share, you know, what he's doing and his inspiration and the courage that he exhibited taking on the Ubuntu model is already affecting other mayors. And this is the domino effect that I imagined would happen. It's happening, and I trust by the end of this year, we're going to have a very interesting scenario with a number of small towns in the world implementing this. I was going to go somewhere else with that. I heard you wanted to say something.
No, I said maybe I'll run for mayor of Trout Lake and see what what I can do there. But I bet some of the local people here in Oregon, you know, in Washington would probably get behind a lot of this. And I know there already are some places that we can talk about later where they've actually taken Rolls-Royce engines. They took a coal-fired electrical plant, you know, pulled out the coal burners, and they put in these Rolls-Royce engines, and they're running them on water and generating a massive amount of electricity. And so this puts an end to the nuclear, you know, all this nonsense that we have going on, and the dirty energy days are over. And that's the dinosaur model that they're doing. I mean, they have things that are even better, but I know that's going to come out real soon.
Yeah. That's the exciting side of things, and I always want to remind people not to get too caught up in the negative stuff and the news and the fear mongering, because that's all it is, just fear mongering to lower our vibration and our frequency and lower our consciousness so that we live in fear, because then we have very low base vibration and it's a horrible place to be. To realize that we're eternal beings, eternal spirits, eternal souls, part of the great creation, part of the unified field of infinity, infinite fractal source, or whatever you want to call it, God, and just keep that in mind. Keep reminding yourself of that, and keep reminding yourself that we are going through some incredibly important times, and we're the ones we've been waiting for. We are the ones bringing this in, especially the light workers and the people that are spreading the information and the knowledge. And it is, we're changing history day by day, week by week, year by year. And bringing in a new paradigm. And what I'm finding most exciting is, especially with the Ubuntu movement, how it's evolved over a 12-year period, going through its own evolutionary process and getting involved in politics and getting confused about how we can, you know, spread abundance and prosperity. And getting involved in politics, you start to then becoming an opposition party, and you oppose and you resist, and realizing that that's old paradigm thinking. We can't resist. We can't fight. We got to do something new. And suddenly this whole one small town strategy came out of 12 years of walking the talk and walking, developing and evolving this model for a new social structure. And now suddenly we find ourselves in a scenario where we using the tools of enslavement as tools of liberation and creating a new alternative reality without any violence, opposition, or conflict, and simply creating a new reality and or alternative system, making the existing system obsolete. It's just so beautiful and poetic.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. You know, a lot of people will just, all they'll do is talk about what's wrong, but they don't provide solutions. You know, there's no solutions, and they just keep this thing going, you know? And, you know, I see that in all of these movements, you know, and especially the women's movements and things like that. And they're like victims screaming, you know, foul and foul and foul and not taking any personal responsibility whatsoever. And yeah, you know, there are things going on, especially, you know, in some of the Middle Eastern countries, you know, where women basically have no rights. But I mean, even in you see in the women's movement, they bring this woman on that's preaching Sharia law, where women have less rights than a dog. I go, you're looking bad. Do the research. Why are you promoting this? You know, it's insane. I go, where's the logic, you know, in this? This is, you know, you're promoting somebody that would like to, you know, put you in a position where you have no voice, you have no rights whatsoever. You have less rights than a dog. You have to walk behind the man. You know, they can do whatever they want to you whenever they want. And it's just total crazy making. But you know, what I'm seeing is that I'm going, you know, rather than keep polluting the whole frequency and the energy and the consciousness and, you know, supporting the victim role and the victim roles and everybody else, that's why we just focus on healing, bringing balance, and focus on what you want to have happen. You know, focus on you know, what you would like to see, you know, equality, respect, things like that. Put your energy into that side of the equation and not the other side. And because they are very wounded, they're totally manipulated by the mainstream, you know, press and the cabal, and they're using their wounds against them.
Yeah. Absolutely, we've got to focus on the positive. It's important to know about what's going on. It's important to know that we're under complete onslaught. But just use that as a foundation for us to launch the new social structure, the new the new reality for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because we can only create a new reality once we know what's going on and what not to do, and focus on the positive. And the Ubuntu movement does bring a very simple solution, and it is so incredible that once it starts, it's very difficult to stop it. That's the exciting thing. Oh, and by the way, you know, Mayor Ron Higgins in North Frontenac, Canada, or Ontario, I mean, he's already got investors emailing him and calling him and saying, hey, we love what you're doing with this whole contributionism thing and all the projects that are co-owned by the community and the investor. He's got investors lining up and queuing up wanting to invest in new projects. And he's saying to them, okay, well, hold on. My proposals, my financial, you know, papers aren't ready yet. I'll let you know as soon as they're ready and for the different projects. And they, more and more people are queuing up to invest in the new projects launched by this little town called North Frontenac. And that's what I thought would happen, what I predicted would happen, and now it's happening. So it's a beautiful thing to observe as it's unfolding.
Yeah. And I know it's been a work in process. You know, it's like I always tell people, you know, none of us are infallible. You know, as long as our hearts are in the right place, you know, we're going to make mistakes along the way. And, you know, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, are so tied up in what if I do the wrong thing or what if I do this? And I go, just launch your boat. You can make course corrections later, you know. You know, don't worry about it, you know, and don't, if you make a mistake, just correct it. You know, it's very simple. And that's why I said people are so worried about stepping out of the status quo or out of, you know, the mainstream or out of the herd or whatever. And, you know, I found out, you know, from my own personal experience, I was in commercial real estate. I had people working for me. And now you had a far, you were in farming. Yeah. Don't you have a pharmacology degree, or
pharmaceutics.
And so, I mean, we had that opportunity to make all the bucks and get old real fast and die, and we chose to do something else, you know, and it all works out. It always works out. And if you're not in your joy, the stress is going to kill you, and you're going to age rapidly, and you're going to die you're going to have a very short life, and people don't realize that.
Yeah. But what I want to do is just change the subject quickly and talk about the latest discoveries here in the Stunt Circles, because I've got the first research team here, research program that I started. So the first group of people that joined me on my research in the Stunt Circles with the sort of Michael Turner's Stunt Circle research program. And it's been a really interesting journey of discovery. And what we've found in the last month is absolutely staggering. You know, firstly, that is becoming very evident now that the Stunt Circles, and first, you know, it's just, they're just becoming more and more mysterious, just more and more interesting and mysterious and mind-blowing. Keeping in mind that we are talking, and you know, I'm only realizing what a big deal this really is now, 10 years after or 12 years after I first discovered the Stunt Circles. I'm starting to realize what a big deal it is, because we're dealing with the largest cluster and collection of stone ruins anywhere on Earth, right here in South Africa. Nothing anywhere on Earth even comes close when you compare the number of stone ruins and the vast area that they cover. You know, I'm talking where I'm sitting right now in Waterfallbuurten, 100 kilometers in any direction is the radius of these ancient ruins. It's just insane.
And they're all like resonating a frequency as well. They're still operating, a lot of them.
Yes, and resonating. This is what I'm getting to. So, the machine might be broken. They might be destroyed and damaged and broken, but they're still working. That's the incredible thing. They're still giving off incredible amount of sound resonance and electromagnetic fields and so forth. They're still active as machines. I'm not sure if they're still doing what they were built for originally, which I now am beginning to believe that it was a lot more to do with not just gold mining, but also terraforming, atmosphere generation, possibly oxygen generation, and other things like that. A lot of real important foundational activities to make this planet habitable. That's becoming overwhelmingly clear right now. But they give incredible amount of energy. But what's coming out more and more evidence for is that they have very strong healing properties. The stone circles have turned out to be places that actually bring on healing. This is, you know, and I wouldn't say that unless I was more than positive about it. I now have quite a few accounts of people that have shared their personal healing stories with me. Even with this research group that is here right now, we've been doing biometric measurements, basic biometric measurements like, or the normal stuff, blood temperature, pulse, blood pressure, and a few other things. And it just, the moment you come in contact with the stone circles, it improves your bodily functions and biometric, whatever you want to call it, physiological functions. And that's spectacular. But by far the most incredible news that I'm going to share with you for the first time on radio, I've never actually said this before, is that I have at least one, probably more like three or four cases that I know of, but at least one case where a woman was cured of cancer, being exposed to the stone circles. And it was one of the women that came, a husband and wife team that came to our very first Stone Circle, the Sacred Sites Tour in 2014. And she basically came out thinking that she was going to die because of the cancer that was diagnosed. And when they got back to Vermont, she went for some treatment, for a checkup, and the cancer was gone.
Wow. You know, go ahead.
No. And she basically, she then came to me when I was in Vermont again. She came to me and said, look, I've got to thank you for saving my life. And I didn't know what she was talking about. I said, no, the stone circles saved my life. It cured me of cancer. And and so I'm just like going, wow, this is mind-blowing stuff. And it's more and more scientific research that we're doing. And I need to do more of this with the Stone Circle Research Program. So again, I'm going to be calling on people with special tools and technology and instruments and apparatus that we can use to do all kinds of these research, everything from, you know, geology, archaeology, astronomy, electronics, health, etc. There's so much research that needs to be done here. It's mind-boggling. And so, you know, get a hold of me, contact me on my website or Michael at ZuluPlanet.com, and you know, get in touch with me and come and share your technology with us so we can do this research.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I know so many people have these technologies. They want to get them out. They don't have a safe venue to do that. And I think, you know, if you get out in the middle of nowhere, you get into some of these other places where the mayors are behind it, you know, and you can get some kind of protection, you can get these things out.
Yeah.
I know Dr. Sam over there and Valerie Uvaroff, I've met him before. I loved his presentations. And, you know, I actually built a pyramid. I was meditating and Pythagoras started coming to me. Next thing you know, I'm building a pyramid, you know, but I built one there at the ranch. And we also have these stone circles there. It's the Hopi Elder came out and helped us do this. And it was, you know, it's built under their tradition, but it's a galactic medicine wheel. And the stones, and it has chambers for each star nation. And once you activate this thing, people walk in there. And if you're connected to the Pleiadians or the Andromedans or the Orion Council, wherever you walk into that circle, if that's your lineage, people just bam, you know, some of them actually go out of body. Some of them just start crying. They have major healings happen, major awakenings. And you know, we're talking people that are really skeptical too. This same thing happens, you know, so I know the power of the stones and anchoring energy into those stones and setting them up correctly, you know, can have all kinds of beneficial effects.
But this is just fabulous. And, you know, I've been obviously looking at the stone circles and the medicine wheels and so forth with great interest in my study of cymatics and sound and the shapes that sound creates. And that's just fabulous to hear that kind of feedback from you. What we've discovered as well with this research group that's here now is just unbelievable. A whole new page that's opened up around the stone circles, and that's the discovery of these mud fossils and ancient fossils that have completely and utterly taken me by surprise. Because for 10 years or more now, I've been walking on through the mountains and the stone circles and all the terraces, wondering and collecting these stones and wondering, why are these stones these weird shapes? Why are they these strange shapes? And they ring like bells and so forth. And suddenly, just out of the blue, about 3 weeks ago, we were out in the field and I was once again just marveling at why these stones are such weird shapes. And the one looked like a rib to me, and I came down the mountain, down the same path, and I put it aside as I normally do. When I find these weird stones, I put them aside so that I can look at them when I come down the mountain. And I came back down and I started looking at this, and then suddenly it was like I had a download. It was like suddenly I was blind and I could see, you know? And suddenly I realized that we're dealing with fossils, because stones do not create these weird shapes, and stones do not have babies that come out in weird shapes. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
So, and I suddenly realized, oh my God, we are dealing with fossils. And this is why we have so many unbelievably weird shapes of stones, because we've got just mountains of fossils, of giants, of normal sized beings and giant beings and weird animals and creatures. Some of them look like they got dinosaur skin. Some of them look reptilian. We've got hooves from creatures that have never been seen. I've got a heart, fossilized heart that's twice the size of a human heart. It's just unbelievable. Within the space of 3 weeks, we've collected probably 200 fossils that are staggering. And wow. It's just opened up a whole new chapter on the ancient history of Southern Africa and the Anunnaki. I believe we might even have some, you know, body parts of Anunnaki, or who knows? And creatures that we've not seen, and also giants, really, really large giants that are possibly, you know, like a mile or more tall. Wow. It's insane.
I know I saw that footprint you were standing next to, and I was looking at that, and I said, that guy's got to be 30 feet, easy.
And that's a little guy. That's a small guy.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. You know, the Bible tells us, Leviticus tells us that there were these giants, and we were like locusts by their side.
Uh-huh.
It suddenly has a whole new meaning to me. And for anyone that wants to learn more about this, I'd recommend they go to Mud Fossil University. There's a guy called Roger Spur that's just opened up a can of worms, and his work is brilliant. And go check out some of the mud fossils that he's been sharing with the world. He's had several of them genetically tested, extracted DNA, mitochondrial DNA, proving that these rocks are actually, you know, body parts from very large beings.
Wow.
It's mind-blowing. So I've been working a little bit with Roger. He's confirmed some of my findings. But one of the best parts was it was really, I think it was like the first or the second day that we came down the mountain and we brought back a bunch of these fossils. And I was standing there holding the rib in the one hand. I just put it down and I had this heart, this fossilized heart, about twice the size or maybe a bit more than a human heart. It's possibly even three times the size of a human heart. And I was standing there holding it, and this guy and his wife walk up to me, and he goes, wow. Well, without me prompting him or saying anything, he just goes, he looks at me and he goes, hey, how's it? Wow, that looks just like a heart. And I go, yeah, well, that's what I think. And he goes, yeah, and no, it is. It's a heart. And I said, how do you know? Do you know this stuff? He said, I'm a surgeon.
Wow.
So I said, wow, would you mind, you know, talking on camera so I can get a bunch of your, you know, comments on camera? So I've got him going through all the fossils. You know, I've got a big a shoulder blade there of, I don't know, somebody that's really large, like, you know, probably six times the size of a human being. And it's just great stuff, man. Great.
It sounds like you're like a kid in a candy store there with all these things unfolding. That's amazing.
It's better. It's better than a kid in a candy store, man. Nothing can compare to this. This is just like I've got my own mountains, and I know where these fossils are because I've been walking these mountains for 11 years.
Oh, I can't wait. Hopefully I can set some more time aside. Maybe we can go for a few walks together while we're there and check out some of the stuff.
You've got to stay for probably, I'd say, an extra week, you know, after the festival. Okay. I'm going to ask, you know, Sam Osmanagic and some of my friends that are coming to stay for an extra week as well, so we can go on a few tours so I can show you around.
I love Sam. I've had him on my show. And hey, you know, they use the same technology, some of the same technology. They use Harold Oldfield's technology, PIP technology. And they filmed, you know, both the healing sessions we do and proved that there's a massive vortex that drops in and shows the bodies pixelating into light. But they went out and they filmed Mount Adams. And they said there's so much energy coming off of that mountain. They said it's like 10 times stronger, even more than the pyramids, you know, of Giza and things like that. And they said, we don't know what's in there, but the energy radiating from that mountain is just off the scale. And I actually have the footage. I got the video footage and the photos of that. I'll actually show that, you know, in my presentation. But there's something, it'd be great to bring these guys out to Mount Adams with all their gear and just say, hey, figure out, you know, there is a door there and ships come in and out of the door. And we just had a massive mothership land and got that on film. And we've had the place remote viewed and they're all validating, you know, the work that what's going on there. So it's really unfolding, you know, fast, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, what I find also interesting is that the whole Anunnaki connection to the spot where I sit right now, to this part of the world, Southern Africa and Zimbabwe, is just getting stronger and stronger. It's just insane. Yeah. You know, the more channelers and healers and shamans that I bring here that channel the information, and it's all the same. It's all the same information. Sometimes different time periods, so the storyline shifts a little bit, but it's pretty much all the same information, and the Anunnaki are at the center, you know, always the central role. And Enki, yeah. Enki is just the guy that his energy is everywhere here. Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
Hopefully Endel isn't. Hopefully he went on a vacation somewhere.
you've been channeling the Anunnaki, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, I've been working with them for quite some time, and there's a whole benevolent group that never fell that's returning, you know, to help clean up a lot of the old stuff. So it's, I had one of them appear right in my room, and her head was hitting the ceiling. You know, it's like she was about 8'6", but beautiful. Wow. Just the love emanating from her was just beyond words, and all I could say was like, yes ma'am, you know, what can I do for you? And I didn't feel anything negative whatsoever there. She told me, she said, we've returned and there's a massive cleanup underway, and we're here to right a wrong, and the fall back in the days of Marduk and even before that is being straightened up and cleaned up with the reptilian mess and all the low level stuff.
That's very interesting. Wow. Well, something's got to happen, and I think there are so many people working towards creating a new reality. It's the connectedness and the collective consciousness that operates below and out of sight and out of mind. It's affecting millions of people, and they're waking up in their own time and doing, you know, joining that collective consciousness field. It's just getting bigger and stronger, and I can't imagine that anything can stop it now. So it's just, and this is I think the more extreme the behavior of the cabal or the elites, or as I call them, the more extreme the behavior, the more we realize that we are winning, because they're just backing up. They cornered, they're panicking, they're kicking, screaming, biting, shouting, doing everything possible to keep control, to retain that control, but it's just not going to help.
No, it's a done thing for them. Their future is already set. Hey, we're out of time, unfortunately, Michael, but just really quick, what's the best way to get a hold of you and to find out more information about the conference there?
Very simple. Just go to either michaeltillinger.com, but even better, go to Ubuntu Fest. That's UBUNTU Fest, ubuntufest.org. All the information is there. You can book your accommodation and your ticket at the same time. So it's important. You can't book accommodation unless you buy a ticket, because it's in a nature reserve and in a resort. So you can get a ticket for a one-day ticket, but then you have to leave at like 10 o'clock at night. So buy a ticket for the whole event and book your accommodation at the same time.
Awesome. Hey, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We'll have to get you back on. I know we've just touched the tip of the iceberg here. And good luck with the event. And we'll send as much energy and people as we can. And looks like we'll be seeing you soon.
Awesome, James. Look forward to seeing you here in South Africa.
All right. All right, folks, we're out of time, unfortunately. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, signing off, and hopefully see you in Africa. Good night.